At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
He looks like vintage Pete Alonso, 2019, 2022 Pete Alonso. And I think that's more than anything the Mets could have hoped for to start this season. Only six games, but the fact that he's going to right field, the fact that he's hitting in big spots like that and coming through, giving quality at bats, Pete looks different this year than he has in the last two seasons.
He looks awesome. I think he's going to get, I think he's getting MVP votes. I said that to Sal before. I think he's going to be doing this all year. I don't think this is a mirage. He just looks different, or he looks like he used to look. You know, I think that we sometimes forget, and it's not necessarily our job to remind everybody of this, and I don't mean just you and I mean as sports fans collectively, but there's nothing more fragile than the human mind. There's nothing more, hit or miss than the brain. And you can apply this to any facet of life. I guarantee there's days where you feel like you are impenetrable on the air, segments where you just feel like you can't get better. And then just because the brain takes over, there's moments where you're like, hey, we could have done this, we could have done that. You don't feel great or as good as you did before. That's the way it goes. You're playing golf, you get three straight pars, you get three snowmans. Like, what the hell happened? I'm the same person. I don't know. But the brain got in the way for Pete. I don't really think anything else really got in the way for Pete. So when we look at who he was before the dip and who he's beginning to resemble once again, I think it's largely because his brain is in a good spot. He didn't feel wanted. When you don't feel wanted, you can't feel confident. When you don't feel confident, you cannot produce at that level against those pitchers. So I think it's awesome to see. I know it's incredibly early. I think Pete's going to bang all year. I think he's going to be terrific.
And it's a great sign for the Mets. My only hesitation or question is, can he keep this up all year long? You can't go nuts after just six games. Now, some of you believed in Pete more so than I did, certainly going into the year, so this validates that early on. But I've seen 2 years of him not being the player that he was at his peak, most recently in 2022. Now I've seen six games of him being at his peak. I need to see a little bit more from Alonso, but as I said after the Grand Slam the first night, the other night when he first did this, that was a huge sign, and I thought he needed it. It was never about Pete not being clutch, but there was something about Pete coming up and many times with a chance to change the game where he wasn't giving quality at bats, and you just couldn't trust him to do so, even though the numbers were there. And now Alonso, with a chance to change the game twice this year, he's done it with the big home run in the spot where you expect him to go out there and produce and do damage. You had to have him go out there and do damage, and he did.
Well, listen, we had different thoughts as to what he could do as a player this year, but one thing that you and I both agreed upon was that we didn't like the way he looked in the three-hole before it started.
Right.
Even when this was really, once it was beyond the experimental phase in spring training, we're like, oh, wow, the Mets going to actually roll this out. I was saying Vientos 2, Soto 3, and obviously Lindor 1, protect the kid, sandwich him with some studs. Like, we've had these conversations a million ways. I will say, though, as you get to tomorrow, while I said it and you said it, like, all right, I'd rather have Vientos up, I'd rather have Soto up, I'd rather have Lindor up, I'd rather have maybe even Nimmo up in your case, or maybe Alvarez when he gets back. At the exception of Juan Soto, I don't think there's anybody else you want up tomorrow with a couple of guys on late. You want Pete.
But that's right now.
I know.
I mean, that's factoring in also Lindor can't buy one as is the norm in April. So right now, yes. Will that, and also Vientos playing like his head is up his rear end, so Vientos got to get with it here. Otherwise, maybe the question is going to, it's going to stop going from what Pete can do this year, and it's going to be about, is Vientos going to have a sophomore slump here in year two? So right now, though, the important thing was that Alonso set the tone to protect Juan Soto all year long. And he's done that in tremendous fashion in the first six games. He's going to get a rousing standing ovation tomorrow at opening day and all that stuff. Pete Alonso appears to be back. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've also talked about Juan Soto and some of the looks that he gives. And on that, BT and I were having the conversation during the last break here. We'll get back to the Alonso calls in a second, but I want to divert from the King topic of the day. The Jackson Merrill contract, because Merrill took some shots at Soto, and maybe he didn't even mean to do it, but he was saying, like, oh, I don't need to go and be one of these guys that makes $700 million. I like it here, blah, 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 blah. Dude, he's a fool. Jackson Merrill is an absolute fool. You're going to mock Juan Soto for breaking the bank and cashing in on $765 million? Were you locked up for $135 million over the course of 9 years? Talk about it. Like, Juan Soto turned down $500 million 4 or 5 years ago because he bet on himself, which is why I love Juan Soto and that attitude and that confidence. He didn't care. He didn't need the security. He knew what he was worth, and he was going to get every last penny of it. And look what happened. Merrill, who's looking to get some financial security, I guess, loves it in San Diego. Everything is happy and fun. He's a good player. You just gave the Padres a freebie. 9 years, $135 million. He is not a free agent until he hits age 33. So to each their own.
Yep.
But I wouldn't be looking to take a shot at Juan Soto, who's going to make more in a year than it's going to take Merrill in 8 years.
I look at this and I'm like, all right, how would I advise a family member? How would I advise a child? Like, if this was staring at us. And I don't really see it the way you see it to an extent. I certainly get it. But where he messed up, I don't know how you don't at least have a favorable opt-out on his end at some point. So I don't think he did it perfect, but
4 years of arbitration they bought out.
Which is
one,
a lot.
5 years of free agency and a sixth year if you count the club option.
But we can't gloss over the 4 years of arb. That's right. A lot of money that he's now making on the front end. So the fact there's no opt-out, don't like it. The fact that he's going to be 33 when he hits full-fledged free agency, pardon me, I think that is a very undesirable spot. I mean, relatively speaking, an undesirable spot to be as a Major League Baseball player who's got some, you know, he's not just a banger who's going to just, you know, be a plotter as he gets older. He can move. He can play a short. He plays all over the place, this guy. So he plays outfield. I think that he's a player that left a few bucks on the table late, but for the early returns, I get it. And if you just have an investment, which he will, and you get like minimal investment, 7-9% on, dude, you're set. You're absolutely set. But I can understand why some would say, well, you jumped it that fast. It's but the 4 years of arb, I think people underrate that. That's 4 years. You're making peanuts.
But then he should shut his mouth about the other guys who want to go out there and bet on themselves and show some guts and end up breaking the bank. Juan Soto could have easily said, yeah, I'll take the $500 million. That's a nice chunk. He'd be set up. The difference between 550 and 765 is what? It's really nothing. I know it sounds like a lot,
yeah.
But ultimately,
with the taxes, it's not. Yeah. But I can see why it's a perceived shot at Soto. I don't really necessarily know, but I don't really think necessarily that that he meant to do that at him. I think it was more general commentary, and he just picked 700 because that's where the contracts are going. You know, there obviously it looks like, you know, Vlad wants 600. We'll see if he gets it. But I think it was like a neighborhood. I think what he was trying to say. Maybe you got away from him a little bit. Hey, listen, you know, money's money. I'm happy here, and I got some security, and I don't see anywhere else to go. But, yeah, a 9-year commitment is where you lose me a little bit without an opt-out. That I don't get.
And as it goes back to Pete Alonso here, you know, Pete keeps having this type of season. Again, six games, it's way early, but we have seen him have big seasons before, MVP-type seasons, 2022. If that version of Pete is here in 2025, what does that mean for his contract and his longevity with the Mets franchise? That's the thing. You may enjoy it now, but if he continues to produce like this, does it mean he's going to be back with the Mets?
I'll tell you what I would do is I would get rid of Boris if I'm him. I would not continue that relationship. I just wouldn't. He didn't do anything for him.
I mean, he's going to say that he got him the highest paid first baseman.
I know. Saves a little faith, AAV, $30 million. Fantastic. And that's good. You know, but that is kind of crawling back, like what he thought he was going to get versus what he signed. There's no way Pete can feel amazing about that contract.
And it's only like the contract stuff is not relevant right now, but it is in that there weren't any teams that thought this version of Pete Alonso was going to come back. I would, because look at the contracts, look at the market. The market said that the Mets even overpaid at $30 million for the first year of this. Mm. In all likelihood, Pete is going to opt out again. He was going to do that either way if he put up decent numbers and see if he could get maybe more money than what he got here from the Mets for the two-year deal, but the 1 year and then the opt-out. But the market said that they didn't believe Pete Alonso was going to be the player that he's shown to be through the first six games. Which also gives me some doubt. He wasn't that player for the last 2 years. Okay, he's done it for six games. Can he keep it up? I hope that he does. I think there are signs there that tell you that it might be for real with Pete because, like you said, the visual, the mental aspect of it, you could see him being at a different mental spot than he's been in the last couple of years. I just don't know if it's sustainable, and I'm not going to overreact just six games in.
Yeah, I'm not going to overreact with an extension here, but I will react by saying, because it's not that far from what I've been saying anyway. I just wasn't sure about the average. I do think Pete's going to be a lot closer to that 260, 270. I think he's going to be an all-star. I think he's going to get some MVP votes. I think Pete's going to have a big, big year. I'll tell you what, though. Sometimes it's as simple as this. Even professional hitters have hitting coaches. If I'm his hitting coach, and the first swing we take off the tee in the winter, you know what I say, meaning this past winter, you know what I say? Hey, Pete, what was the biggest home run you hit this year? And he's going to ask, Pete, let's go a little further. What was the biggest home run you ever hit as a Met? And he's going to go back to the Devin Williams home run, right? Every Met fan will go back to that. And then the next question I ask is, what part of the field did you hit it to? And you say, right center. I'm going to say, let's go to work. Let's find out what made you Pete Alonso. And he went back, there's such a thing as going back to the lamp. Whether it's a new grip, whether it's a new, if you're a pitcher, a new pitch that you create. There's ways, I think that we, and I do it too, but I think that sometimes we are so cut and dried with major leaguers because they've gotten there that we don't expect that there's room for them to grow. They have an aptitude that we can't relate to, and if they apply that aptitude to something that's good, they can tap into something that they either once had or never had and become better than their previous best version. That's possible.
BT and Sal and the Fan of Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dave is in Boston. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller here. So, love what you're talking about, Pete. He's a different player. We're just looking at a guy locked in. He's not biting. Let him take another bite at the apple in the offseason. Cone knows how to do it. That's fine. I just hope he keeps the focus. Question for you guys. I'm over here getting heat. I got a pod in my ear, listening to every Mets game. Last night through dinner, kids are going crazy. How are you guys doing? Are you watching the game through dinner?
I had the game on. What do we have? Did my daughter have dance? What do we have last night? Oh, there was something that they had. So we had dinner a little bit late. We had the game on before they went with Jen to do what they had to do, and I was watching. I was sitting on the couch. Colt was kind of going back and forth on his iPad with his buddies, but definitely checking the game out. My daughter couldn't care less. And then when we got home, I had some stuff to do. I put it back on. I was watching it in the basement during a workout. When they came home, I put it back on in the main room, and then me and Colt finished watching the game.
Yeah, I think it depends on the game, and it depends on the day. Yesterday, the Mets had a 4:40 start. So it was a little different where you get into that game earlier, and I'm not eating dinner. We don't have a set the table type thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday was just an aberration for me. And by the way, there was a lot of games on, so my wife happened to not be home. So I was with Sammy. She was playing upstairs. I was watching the majority of the Met game that way. Then the Mets went a little late, kind of dipping into the Yankees. So then it was a little both Mets and Yankees. Then by the time the Mets ended, I had the Yankees on. I was keeping an eye on the Rangers. Then I'd flip back with the Rangers. And
you checking on the Knicks? We discussed this.
I just checked the score. I saw the Knicks have a big first half and then gave it up in the second half. I did not watch the Knicks.
They're up, I think, 13 or so at the half there. Yeah, no, the earlier, I mean, I wish it was like this every night, where you have the Mets and the Yankees, it's staggered because that 2 hour, Mets were at 4, Yanks were at 6:40.
4:40, the Mets
4:40,
started.
That's right, 4:40 and 6:40.
The Yanks were 7 or whatever.
Yeah. And the extra innings, obviously, there was some overlap there. But what I do, I just record both games every single night. I go to SNY, I go to the guide, SNY, bang. Yes, boom. If it's on something else, I'll find it. If it's on Apple, I can't quite record it with SNY. It's different, whatever, Prime. But I'll record them both. And if they're, I'll shut it off when we eat. I mean, I'm not.
You have like a set the table and all that stuff.
Not every night because some nights we're straggling in from practice. Okay. The other night we had practice at 7 to 8:30 at the indoor facility. Me and Cole walked in. It was like 10 to 9. So no, we're not going to sit down conventionally. You know, mommy had meatballs ready and stuff. We ate a little late, but yeah, I mean, I turn the TV off when we're eating.
Right.
But I'm always rolling on both. And once we're done eating, I put it back on.
Yeah, I'm a game first, dinner later. We'll put the game on, and I'll go eat if I have to. But it's all over the place. Bottom line is, either going to make watching the game a priority or you're not. I'm going to make watching the game a priority. Chris is on Staten Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey. First, before I start, I want to say, big fan of the show. I listen to you guys every day. I honestly think you guys are this generation's Mike and Chris. So, big fan. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, buddy.
We appreciate that. Thank you. What's up, Chris?
Back to the Soto stuff. BT, and it's been like this for a while. It almost seems like you toe the line of not wanting to say you think Juan Soto is a little overrated. And I feel like maybe you're doing this to protect Sal's feelings because he's over the moon about the signing.
Every time
we talk about Juan Soto, it seems like you want to say you think he's a little overrated, which, by the way,
I think he is.
I said it last year.
Yeah, I said it last year. He was with the Yankees. I don't say that because I don't want to be disrespectful to Soto, because what he's great at is amazing. And I respect it. He's not a good outfielder. Did you see yesterday on the base hit the right field, kicked it around? I mean, he's going to be worse as he gets older. He's not a plus on the bases. And he's not a guy who's going to hit 315 or 310. I do think but it's not about overrating or saying that he's overrated. To me, it's about properly contextualizing his strengths and his deficiencies. See, my problem, and I take this very, it happens with every, when there's a player that this happens to or a team. It happened to Pete early on when I met fans, when I was with Teague. Pete called up and said, oh, he's Judge. No, he's not. And it became a knock on Alonso in the eyes of some. Never my intention. Again, it was provide context. He's not even close to Aaron Judge. And not to make it a Judge thing, but I do that because assigning proper levels of greatness, particularly to baseball players, I take very seriously. And some might say take it too seriously. Let me tell you, that's fine. But like when people, Juan Soto's a great player. No, Juan Soto's an amazing on-base machine who can't field, can't run, and has had a couple of seasons that left me scratching my head. That's a fact.
Right, and the fact is that I would rather have nobody on my team more than Juan Soto.
All right. I mean,
we could differ there. You could look at the numbers. You could have your reasons. I have my reasons.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody, including Ohtani and Judge, that has the sack that Juan Soto does. I don't know if that's on Baseball Reference. It's on Slip, Sal Licata Projections. Juan Soto's sack is bigger than Judge and Ohtani, and he's proven it in the postseason. It's not me hoping. It's not me wishing. It's not me dreaming. He's done it. He did it with the Yankees. He did it with the Nationals. So those things I value.
Yeah.
Same way why Andy Pettit. Well, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Not because of what he did in the regular season or because of the numbers. I couldn't even tell you Pettit's numbers. When I watched him compete at the highest of level year after year after year in the postseason, he was the best guy on the mound. Not Roger Clemens, not anybody else. It was Andy freaking Pettit. So I just value certain things more. You may value speed or defense or other tools or other numbers more so than me. But why I love Soto and loved him before he was a Yankee, while he was a Yankee, while he's now a Met, is because of the intangibles.
What was the acronym? Sal's what?
Slips. Sal Licata Projections. Yeah. Yeah. We use that on SAY instead of these Zips projections.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's right, the Zips. Now, here's the thing. I would rather Aaron Judge step up there and be a beast in October, but I'm also very able and freely to, I say that. I'm like, so Aaron Judge has been a zero in October. Like, I guess I separate the talent and the regular season. Like, to me, those are two different discussions.
So if you could pick one of the two players, Judge or Soto, you'd rather have Judge.
I would. Now, I'll put it this way, though. If I'm starting a team tomorrow, my answer is neither. I'll take a Witt or I'll take a guy like that. But, and now, as much as I say, yes, I absolutely want Aaron Judge batting third or batting four, whatever, batting second, batting third, even though Soto's very good. I will say Judge, and I just did, but I also know in 2 or 3 years, whenever he starts to diminish a little bit, the pendulum's going to slip to Soto. Now, I also don't think that Soto will crank out some of these seasons with the Mets that Judge, I know he's never going to hit 62 home runs. I'm not sure that he's ever going to have 140 or 150 ribbies. I don't think he's ever going to hit 322 or 320 like Aaron Judge is now doing consistently. I don't think so. I know he won't quite be the right fielder that Aaron Judge is, but I understand that there is a monster drop-off between the judge that we watch for 6 months and then the judge we watch for 2 or 3 weeks. And it's maddening and it's frustrating. But I think I extended a little wider, like my net's a little wider. And I just really look at from April till the end of the season, and I just think Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. And listen, that's just me. Again, I'm very literal with this. Like, when I hear Aaron, like, if somebody called up and said, hey, who's got the most selective eye that you've ever seen? Soto might be the name that comes to mind.
Right.
I might say Juan Soto. I very well. When you call me and you say, who's the best player you've ever seen? There's no way in hell I'm saying Juan Soto. I'm saying Griffey. I'm saying a younger Mike Trout. I'm saying Aaron Judge. There's other names. So it's just, I think, separating what he does amazingly and all time in certain regards and what he's deficient in.
Right, and then what we value. Because of all those things, I would still rather have Juan Soto up in the postseason. Forget about the contract. Forget about projecting years forward. Right now, if I could have one guy up in a big spot in baseball, Otani, Judge, you name it,
yeah.
Witt, Merrill, all these guys, I'm going Juan Soto.
And the frustrating thing for me is, if I'm going to keep this real, I can't volley back in a way with an opinion to that point is contrary to what you just said.
Well,
I know Judge is better.
Right.
You're up on October. Right now you want Soto.
What do you mean?
It's just the Deftones. It's not Mighty Mighty anything.
What do you mean? I thought it was the Mighty Mighty Boston's.
No, the Mighty Mighty Boston's. This is the Deftones. Two different things.
Yeah.
Completely
I don't know
different.
About the Mighty Mighty. I know about the Deftones.
Mighty Mighty Boston's, you guys know, because there's a song that was on rotation for a while.
Yeah, you've never heard of the Mighty Mighty Boston's?
Dude, I'm at the point now where I hear a song, I'm like, oh yeah, I know the song. I don't know who the artist
this
is.
Like, this is
you
like,
know I live in the 80s.
This is probably
this
30 years
both
ago.
Both you guys know that.
Yeah, I think the Boston's were the 90s, if
really?
I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Man, I don't.
So what's the Deftones hit? Am I supposed to know this? Or BT and I?
I think we know Def Jam more, put it that way.
Definitely.
My Own Summer, Be Quiet and Drive.
No,
I don't know. White Pony is one of their best albums.
Anyway, so there's an issue. There's an issue Hoff has with the Deftones. Where is the show tonight?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where is it?
It's at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, it's that big of an event? Wow.
Yeah, they sold off.
The Deftones sold out Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
They should be called the Mighty Mighty Deftones. I mean, that's a pretty mighty achievement right there.
Okay.
Selling out the world's most famous. All right, so anyway, he's been looking for people to go to this for a while.
How many tickets did he have?
How many do you have?
I have two. It's not a while, really, because I thought I nailed down two different people at different times.
And?
Okay.
And then they both said no.
And here you are on the day of. What about your wife? She doesn't want to take the day off?
Well, she's one of the two people that said no.
And what happened? Why?
She refuses.
Why?
Because she doesn't want to go see them. She's last time she saw them, she was 6 or 7 months pregnant with Anthony. And then she told me from that day on, she cannot do it ever again.
So he can't, so he's looking for, I'm like, come on, I have no interest. Deftones, but I really can't go anyway, I got stuff going on. You know, I got to watch
the
baseball.
Did you ask him where the seats are? Like you wanted to ask Devin the other day?
That was kind of my point, was that, A, who have you asked around here? B, why don't you throw it out to Evan? Just wait till about, I don't know, 2 o'clock-ish and be like, Ev, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to go to the Deftones concert?
You should ask Gallo. Gallo strikes me as somebody who listens to that kind of music.
Gallo would have, but he was unable to. He can't.
Who forget else? About Evan. Forget about Tiki.
I asked Richard Christie. He was unavailable.
Richard Christie?
From the Stern Show when I was talking to them earlier this morning.
Okay. Who else?
I asked Lou Gower because he said he had interest, and then he said no, he couldn't.
I mean, the Mets are off. What are these guys doing?
Well,
nobody wants to go to the
That's why I thought today was a great day to go. It's like I could have gone yesterday. They were at Prudential, but I'm like, no, today is an off day. Let's go. We'll go to MSG.
So right now you have a ticket. Maybe Mitchell and Fort Lee. He's usually good for that stuff.
If he wants to drive me home.
You never know. You guys go get some wings. What was it called again? Candelita? What's the name of the place?
Candlelight.
Oh, Candlelight.
You were very off today.
For the wings?
For the wings, yes. Yeah, we got to go there.
You said
spot.
That after the wrestling.
And speaking of which, Mitch is still on it for Saturday. I don't know if you're still interested.
Oh, with the Devils Rangers?
Yeah. Are you still available?
I'm still available. I'm still interested. I don't know to what degree. You know, I don't want to overstate the interest,
okay.
But I am available. The first step is I'm never available on Saturdays. I actually am available this Saturday.
Okay, so we're still in play for that. I had texted him last night with a negative, like, oh, I guess we're out for Saturday because I didn't hear back. And he said, nope, I'm still on it. I'm asking. So there is hope alive, potentially, for Rangers Devils.
Puck
so
drops what, 12:30?
12:30, yeah.
By the way, what's the last concert you went to? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. Could it have been Billy Joel?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That's one of the last one.
What about you? You remember?
Yeah, I know I saw Billy in 2020. Somewhere, well, that was COVID. Mm. In 2019 at the Garden.
Last concert.
I think the last one was actually, and it was awesome, Def Leppard Journey at the Garden. Sold out.
What year was that? How many years ago?
Maybe 2021. Something like that in the neighborhood.
I don't recall the last time I was at a concert, honestly.
What a great concert.
I used to go a little bit more. I was going to say Kanye West. I don't know if I could say that.
You say whatever you want.
But that's you. Well, I mean, he's lost his mind. But that was a long time ago. I would go
Where'd
see
you
Kanye.
See him? The Garden?
I've seen him everywhere. Coliseum, Garden.
Wow.
Yeah, all over the place. Billy Joel, I saw probably, geez, could that be right? 2018?
That's a while ago.
Last concert?
Ooh.
2018.
It's a long time ago. Go tonight. Break the schneid.
I mean, maybe if I heard of the Deftones. I mean, maybe. No, I actually can't. I got too much stuff going on. Plus, I want to watch the games tonight. We get the Yankees on tonight.
Yeah, get some hits for the Yankees here. Enough with the strikeouts.
And I got to watch
two games.
And I got to watch Married at First Sight Australia. I'm toward the end on catching up on that. 30-something episodes in the season.
My wife way. Oh, that's right. You did say that. Yeah. You're Married at First
Sight.
It's
the best show on TV. I would love to do it now.
What?
Yeah, meaning like where I'm at mentally, not
okay.
You know, if I were single,
of course. At least see a picture of the person before you? Is it really married at first sight? So why the hell would you do that? You don't know what you're stepping into. What are you, nuts?
I know, but see, you're a guy who would fail at it because you're looking at it from the wrong perspective.
Well, I think I'm looking at it from the only perspective. No, I'm trying to stack the odds in my favor.
The matchmakers are setting you up with somebody who they believe on paper is a good match for
That's
you.
That's the premise of the show?
Yeah, because
do they ever mess around and try to make it bad and give you a bad match?
No.
I mean, so they do it on the up and up. Really
bad matches happen
all the time, but not by design.
But no, it's because people probably at first sight say, I'm not physically attracted to this person, which leads to a fascinating dynamic because they say, look, you came to us for a reason. All the people that you were thinking you were attracted to are the wrong people for you.
Well, let me find out. At least they're attractive. I'll have some fun finding out.
But then you don't want to be married at first.
Well, that's true.
If you want to be married, then you go on the show. If you want to hook up, and some people have the problem differentiating. Mm. You would be one. Like, there's this guy Harrison. I'm married at first.
I shouldn't even give the names.
Yeah, oh, dude, I'm into it. I told my wife.
What is it on? Every Thursday?
No. It's on. We watch it now on the app.
I got you.
I think it aired a couple of years ago, but we're just watching it now.
Okay.
So we could catch up on it. But I was telling my wife in bed last night as we're watching this after all the games. We watched it down with a nice little Married at First Sight Australia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to miss this show when it's over.
Is this the last season?
There are probably other seasons we could go catch up on, but or when they come out with a new one. But we'll be done with this version of it. And I'm enjoying it. I highly recommend it. If you want to be entertained, you probably wouldn't like it.
Why?
But I mean, come on. Why? I mean, all the reasons you just gave. Right?
Well, but I'm not. Those were for me, like right. applicable to me. I mean, if other people going through it, I don't.
Do you watch
care,
reality shows?
Dice. Yeah, dude.
Like Housewives, New Jersey yeah, Housewives.
Jen watches it all the time. Are you kidding
does
me?
Does Jen watch Married at First Sight?
No.
She got me.
She heard me too.
No, but it's not about that.
I know. I'm just teasing.
Or Love is Blind. Even that was a good one. On I think watch? It's on Netflix.
She definitely watches Housewives all the time. I remember. I mean, I've been watching reality shows going back to like Joe Millionaire, like one of the okay. first reality shows. I enjoy them. Okay. I think they're pretty good. I
so,
like them.
Okay, so then take this recommendation: Married at First Sight, Australia version, season 10.
That's a lot to remember. Now, 10 seasons.
No, but it's just season 10. That's it. Now, yeah. I will say. That there's going to be at least a few reasons why it would pique your interest in the show.
Gotcha. Message received.
Okay. That's a starter. That gets you into it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's, you know, there's drama
yeah.
and all
yeah,
this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. 888. I could see Dove and Hoff both going home watching Married at First Sight Australia. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Frank is in Smithtown talking about Joe Milton. What's up, Frank?
Hey, BT and Sal. How's it going?
Hey, good. Buddy.
All right, so... I know it's kind of a weird, you know, transition since y'all are talking about Pete Alonso and Juan Soto from the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Steelers Cowboys fan. And the Joe Milton situation is kind of interesting for two reasons. Firstly, what they gave up from. Because they gave up a fifth-round pick to get Joe Milton and a seventh when the Giants couldn't even give up maybe even a third, like you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Which blows my mind a bit.
Maybe the Hold on. Maybe the Giants don't think he's any good. Honestly, not that I would trust the Giants' quarterback evaluation lately, but it's possible they don't think he's viable.
Well, I mean, my debate is that like they gave up only a. I mean, for a fifth, you wouldn't take a shot on that.
But I'm not
fifth,
saying I wouldn't. I'm not saying that I would. I like Joe. He's 6'5", 250, big boy. I like him. I'm intrigued. I don't know if they are.
Yeah. Sorry, Frank. You I don't want to go there because of the background noise. Yeah, I mean, look, I would have... Here's the thing. You and I are different than what the Giants would do. And it's not just you and I being... Anybody, any individual listening, you have your thought. The Giants have theirs. If the Giants in any way, shape, or form thought Joe Milton could potentially be a franchise quarterback, I would assume and hope that they would have inquired... And given up at least a fifth or a seventh or maybe even, dare I say, a fourth round pick.
Uh-huh.
Think about what we're talking about here. Now, the Cowboys are doing it as a backup to Dak Prescott. They like him as a backup. They like his potential, but it's a backup. I think there is an overrating of backup quarterbacks, especially in a small sample size,
mm-hmm.
that is taking place. But if you're desperate for a franchise quarterback, why wouldn't you take a flyer on somebody if you believe that they had the potential?
I would. I also think, by the way, Dallas is getting ready to move on from Dak. I don't mean necessarily this year, but I don't think Dak is with the Cowboys in 3 years. I don't even know if he's on the team next year. So
I don't know if it was Boomer and Geo talking about or somewhere else that I heard it that there was thought that maybe they trade with the Browns.
I remember seeing that a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how viable that story was. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not trying to shoot down a report. I don't know.
I guess in this hypothetical, it would be the Browns trading... trading Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson? Why would Dallas?
Well, okay, hold on. Hear me out. Browns trading the second pick and Deshaun Watson for Dak.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that was the...
That's
right.
A lot.
Well, the point is they would then get out of Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I think this is it. Now, again, who the hell knows if this is even realistic?
You're also getting out of the number two pick, and if you don't love Sanders, then maybe it's worthy from Cleveland's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Dak. That's good. I don't think he's great.
Cowboys have to bite the bullet on the Deshaun Watson contract.
Well, that's the problem. That's $230 million guaranteed, dude. Yeah. I mean, just ruptures Achilles, not to mention that he isn't even that good
anymore. But you'd be getting Shador Sanders in that spot.
If you love him.
Yeah, oh, that's what I'm saying. I,
like, if you, I don't know if Dallas loves him.
I haven't even seen this reported. I just heard Boomer and Geo talking about it.
I got you. No, listen, I mean, I think the quarterback possibly possibilities and that those conversations are always intriguing and interesting to me. And I don't think it's Nuttyville to suggest that because, let's face it, Cleveland's got to do something. I think Dallas is getting very restless with their situation. So I don't think it's whacked out to think that that's remotely plausible. But back to the Giants real quick. I know we have to break here. Like, to me, somebody said, well, you know, and the caller, you know, why wouldn't you give up a third or a fourth round pick? Well, like, isolated, yeah, you would take a flyer on somebody that's interesting unless you don't view him as interesting.
Correct.
Then you wouldn't even give up a sixth-round pick for him if you don't think he could play.
Bingo. So you or I might be interested in him. The Colors might be interested in him. The Giants look at him and say, we're not interested in him. My daughter, one of the things she likes to do when she wakes up is get into the iPhone and go right into the music. Mm-hmm. And she has her certain artist, but I'm trying to teach her the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Gotcha.
So that was going this morning as we were getting ready for work, the Rocky. I'm like, man, we need to work more of this Rocky IV music in there.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she does. She'll say it's rock. I mean, she's into Ashanti. She's into damn Keith Urban.
Is she really?
My mom, one of my mom's favorite songs, one of these Keith Urban songs, so she shows her that. Yeah. And now Sammy is all about Keith Urban, going through Keith Urban and the videos.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah, I guess.
You gotta have a little culture. You can't just be in the now.
And then my wife shows her Ashanti. Yeah. I'm showing her all different stuff, the Rocky IV stuff, you know.
You gotta play for the ants go marching one by one. You gotta play some kid songs, too.
Nice.
The goofy kid songs.
You know, she likes...
The ants go marching one by one.
What's the kid song that she gets into now? Is the dog... How much is that doggy in the window?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That one. I remember that.
She get into that a little bit. I get the Rangers goal song going for her. She pulls up all these on there. But yeah, a little Rocky IV. I mean... Come on, Deftones. We want some Rocky IV. Although I do want to hear the Mighty Mighty Ballstones to see if you remember one of their popular songs.
What year? You talking 90s? Is that what Hoff said before in the 90s?
So, yeah,
I'm sure. I think it was like 94, 95.
Hoff, is it like Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam genre?
No, totally? It's ska.
Okay.
Ska music. What does that
I'm
mean?
Very curious.
Ska, it's like with the trumpets and the horns and stuff like that. Ska
dude,
music.
Like Diaz coming.
Ska rock. Ska rock. No, not like Diaz, really. But yeah.
Yeah, not quite that type of trumpet. All right, BT and Sal of the Fed. We'll get back to the calls about the Mets. 888-808-1019. Jody is in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. Big fan. I love your show.
Thank you.
First, before I get into my question, I got to just tell you, BT.
Yeah.
Your piece on your podcast about the Jets made me feel really good, and I thought it was so spot on. I loved it. I was listening to it last night.
Nice. You're talking about the one that just dropped? Yeah, I put it up episode 28 about the change of the Jets culture on Killable. Spotify, Apple, obviously, WFAN, YouTube. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So the question I have or statement I have is, and BT, you play baseball. Like, Vientos, like, you're dogging it to first base. BT, when you did this, if you did this in college, your butt sat down. You know, your coach was like, goodbye, you're sitting down for the rest of the game. This guy's like, I don't understand why they put up with this guy. This isn't Mike Schmidt or Brooks Robinson. He's still, you know, he's still, okay, he's not a rookie, but he's a
young.
Semi-rookie.
Yeah, no, he's still earning some stripes here. And Jody, thanks for the call. Here's what I would say about Vientos. No, I mean, I didn't do it, but nobody did that back in the 90s. Come on, man. And if you did, you better be a superstar, which I was not. All right, so here's what's a little confounding about the Vientos thing. I love that Lindor went and spoke to him. That's when he didn't run out the ground ball.
Yeah.
And then the next day, his head's still in space. That worries me.
I don't know if his head was in space.
On that ground ball, that should have been the way he played that.
I think
Torrens was in the wrong spot, too. And Keith said it. You got to go on the outside. He was placed on the inside. You got to give him a better target to throw the ball. Oh. But to me, he did not look locked in at all.
Okay, first of all, to respond to the caller who said, well, they can't tolerate this. They didn't. They held him accountable. What do you want him to do? Seriously, I'm seriously asking that question.
Yeah, you're not going to sit him at that point. You talk to him and you hope he gets the message. That's what you do.
Send him the minors?
But he didn't get the message yet,
apparently. And by the way, it wasn't even, after watching the replay yesterday, it looked bad. But in real time, you and I did not discuss this.
No, we didn't, actually. We did not discuss
it. It was not a story yesterday. No. It's a story after the fact. So I did not pick up on it real time, and maybe I wasn't locked in at that exact moment. I don't recall a big deal being made about it. No. And it wasn't like he just, unfortunately, I don't know why he did it, Vientos. He pulled up at the very end.
I know.
All right, was he going full bore, busting out of the box? No. Nobody really does on a routine grounder. However, him slowing up at the end, that's where it was like, what are you doing? Just finish running. You don't have to bust it out of the box.
Yeah.
And okay.
Go through the base.
And then yesterday, I guess my point was, I don't think it was about lack of effort. I think his head was up his rear end. So you could say head in space.
Effort, recognition, being, you know, just being dialed in. Either way, we did not talk about the lack of busting it down the line. I don't know why I just didn't think it was a massive deal. And I'm not looking to excoriate the kid. I mean, he just made a mistake, whatever. You shouldn't make a mistake first week of the season when you're a young player. But, all right, he did. Mendy spoke to him. First base coach spoke to him. Lindor spoke to him. I thought it was handled. And I was watching Vientos talk about this on SNY on the pregame. I was watching this yesterday with Gary and Todd Zeal, and they played this. And I'm like, all right, he gets the message. There's no doubt. Like, message received, because he said, I guarantee this will never happen again. Like, it was such a definitive response. I'm like, and I love Viento. So I'm like, he got it. Message received. We're good. And then his play yesterday, and not just the empty at bats. That's more of a baseball thing. I'm talking about even, Even now, I will give him this. The foul, the ball that was hit, the play at third base, the one we're talking about. Yeah. He's not getting a double play on that. I think, I don't know if it was Keith or Gary. One of them said if he would have hustled, he's turned it two. You're not turning two on that. I don't care. I don't care if Steve Balboni is running. You're not getting two. His, what bothered me about the play, the location of the throw, whatever, he was very lackadaisical. Like, as he caught the ball and that you slow it down, it's very apparent. He's not plowing through the play. It's just a slow, deliberate, like, maybe not sure where to go, which I guess, fair,
he thought it was foul.
Well, you got to know better.
No, but that's the point.
But it's close enough. You got to play it like it's fair.
If you think it's
foul, you got to be right.
That's exactly right. You can't half-ass it.
No.
But I don't think it's because of lack of effort. I think right now, Mark Vientos is going through adversity in his own mind, at the very least.
Yeah, it's 5-6 games. Oh, what's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is that what he did last year set up new expectations this year.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much you block it out, there are going to be things that infiltrate your thought process of, am I this good? Do I have to prove it again? Can I do this again? How could I take the next step forward? We were talking to somebody about that, probably at MLB Network, one of those guys, I forget who it was, but talked about that exact thing. The expectations now are new. Mm-hmm. These guys, maybe it was Cliff Floyd. Forget about what the expectations are and just go do you. Because now he's going to try to live up to what the newfound expectations were, where last year he just came in under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he nips this in the bud fast. I would hate to see, first of all, it would be really, really, really bad news for the Mets if Vientos' last year was a mirage, or there's just a sophomore slump or a big step back, whatever. Like, that would really handcuff their lineup. I hope that's not the case, but even aside from the execution and the difficulty of hitting a baseball, young man's got to strap on and get his head right. Like, you got to bust through the bag. If you think it's fair, or you think it's foul, or if you think you better be right.
Yeah.
Throw the ball through Pete Alonso's chest. Just complete the play. Again, he's wearing it and he's thinking, and I'm going to give him definitely room to figure things out. But if this can't keep bleeding deep into the month here, because I think it becomes really heavy. And then it might become a self-fulfilling prophecy. He might be so out of whack that you got to bench him more, maybe even more drastic than that. He does not look locked in at all.
He clearly is taking his at-bats with him to the field. That is as clear as day.
Yeah.
And he's going through adversity, and we are going to find out what he's made of real quick.
Yeah.
It's good to go through some struggles, especially early on. Now, once he comes out of it, hopefully he does eventually, sooner than later. But once he does, then everything will be at ease, because then those doubts won't creep in, because they'll say, I dealt with this. I thought maybe I doubted myself a little bit. I was struggling. But then you come out the other side of it, and then you get back to the place of, okay, I'm good to go now. Right now, you're seeing a young player go through some adversity. That this happens.
Yeah, and there's no question. Baseball is really hard. And I'm just trying to, being fair to the young man, but I'm just trying to delineate, like, one thing I would not have expected. All right, when you do what he did in a large chunk of the season, but particularly in October, bigger stage, better pitching, pressure just up the wazoo, and you do what Mark Vientos did, you clearly have something that maybe a lot of your younger peers do not. That's why I would say bat him second. That's why I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm a big believer. So if you told me during the winter, hey, Vientos is going to start slow, maybe kick it around a third a little bit, maybe not hit that well, I wouldn't be stunned, because baseball's hard. I mean, Lindor can't even hit in April. He's a really good player.
Should have been the MVP last year.
What I am surprised about, and a little, I'm not going to say worried, but aware. If you told me in February, not only will he kick it around a little bit and not hit, there's going to be a lack of effort in certain spots, or a lack of awareness and being dialed in, I would want it. That's the one thing that's unacceptable. That must change.
But don't you think it all is tied in?
It doesn't tie in for all everybody.
I'm not excusing it.
I hear you.
I'm just saying that with him, it seems to be tied in. He's a good kid. He's confident.
I'm not saying he's not a good kid.
I'm just saying he's a hard worker. There were some doubts about him and his work ethic years ago under Buck Showalter.
Mm.
That is a thing of the past. But now you're starting to see, when he's struggling a little bit at the plate and maybe trying to do too much and getting frustrated, even if it's not, he's not knowingly let it impact his other parts of the game, it is. He's frustrated. It's not that he doesn't want to run hard. He's like,
I made another round.
Yeah, I jumped in another pitch. I smoked this ball in the gap. I hit it over the fence. I hit a grounder to third. I'm mad at myself. Now, that's not the right way, and he's going to learn from it, especially when Mendoza and Lindor are holding him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
The ground ball to third, I don't know what that is. I just think he's too much in his mind as opposed to just going out there and playing and reacting. He's letting his at-bats get to him in the field, and that is a problem that it just cannot happen. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Giants quarterback situation as well as your calls on the Mets and Pete Alonso when we come back.